It's been a day. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Digital Fireside. I am Alex Hall with your other co-host, Luke.
Hey, guys.
Kirtan. Hey, how's it going, man?
Hey, pretty good. It's been a while. Been a minute.
Been a little bit. I've been super, super busy. But kind of recap for us a little bit. What's been going on with you?
Oh, man. Wait, this is like the moment where you have like those times in the movies like...
Yes.
I wonder how you... What are you doing?
You're turning away from the mic.
I didn't turn away from the mic. I'm spitting so I can talk to you. Look at
you. You're spitting at me? Are you hollering at me?
I'm trying to keep eye contact with you. Okay, but anyway, what's going on with me is a lot actually happened. So last time you seen me was probably, what, December? So from December on, we had Christmas, which was a great time. Family came in. It was a good time. We don't see them much. Uncles and all that stuff, the whole shebang. Mm-hmm. Went to see Star Wars. I have thoughts on that for another time, but... I don't know if you saw it or not.
I didn't. No.
You did not? So, yeah, for another time. Spoiler alert, didn't like it.
Couldn't see that.
Then January rolled around. We had New Year's. It was a good time as well. I went on my honeymoon in Tahiti.
That's right.
That was a blast. We went there for 6 days.
Is that the thing from Red Dead Redemption where he's like, it's been a minute, but isn't that the one where, what's his name, Dutch? So I was like, we got to go to Tahiti.
Oh no, that was, I know you're talking about. Was it Tahiti? No.
Havana?
No, yeah, but he keeps doing that stuff. Yeah.
Sorry.
That's in two. Whatever, that's in two, man. Yeah. Okay. And then, so January, that was like January 11th or so. I separated my shoulder playing basketball.
Nice.
2 weeks ago. There it's finally healed up a little bit. Still kind of,
okay.
You know, sucks. But it's never happened to me, so that was something new. And I have finished, not finished, but I'm in the middle of a project that I have vowed to finish before the end of August.
Okay.
And I'm going to try to hold myself to it.
That's exciting.
Also, it's what I sent you that you haven't responded or even probably read.
I've looked at it.
Because that is something that has been put on the back burner for a while.
Okay.
But other than that, not much else. I can't really think of anything else. But
okay. That
one thing I am excited for because, hear me out.
Yes.
As you know, doing what I'm doing with this certain thing,
right?
It can be very easy to just say, I'm going to turn on the TV.
Yes. Yes.
And that's what. So that's why I need to send it to multiple people, not just for feedback. Yes, that'd be great. But to hold myself responsible. I'm like, hey, man, when's the next blah, blah, blah coming?
Yeah.
You know? So that's what I'm excited for. I'm excited for, you know, all my friends give me what works for them, what doesn't work for them. But I'm sure when it's at least 60, 75% done, I'll actually, you know, speak it to existence on here or something like that.
That's a good idea.
So
also,
we'll
keep
actually,
you accountable a little bit. If you make it public like that, you'll be like, all right, you said you're going to do this. Where is it?
Yeah. Although so like
not always. But
I have a whole bunch of those like things where I start it, and then it's like 10% done.
Yeah.
And then I start something else because I think it's not going to work with this project, so I might as well just start a whole new project, and that becomes 10% done. And that's pretty much what I got. So I have like 15 ideas I'm just sitting on.
Yeah, that resonates with me a lot because as another creator like that, I definitely have situational ADD when it comes to some of that stuff. Like you'll be working on this one project for, you know, a month or two and then another idea will come along and yada, yada, yada. And I felt that the way I'm kind of working my way out of it is to just start small, which is it started last year with this podcast. It was like, hey, let's get back kind of – dip the toes back in the water of, like, you know, internet popularity or, like, kind of managing a small fan base. Like, start small. Just kind of remember what that's sort of like and then warm back up. And as I started doing this podcast more and as I started to kind of get back in that sort of mindset, I found that it was a snowball effort where things became progressively easier.
Hmm.
And I mentioned something to you before that we started recording, and that's something that I am working on now that is pretty exciting. But I cannot talk about it yet, which, you know, surprise, surprise. Yeah, I feel like that is the big thing.
So the first 7-8 minutes of this, people are like, what the fuck are they talking about?
Well, so like, I will say that I'm preparing for a role in something unrelated, and I have finished, or I'm finishing up kind of my bulking a little bit. I'm putting the, dude, we need to go work out sometime because, like, I am within a hair's distance away from benching 300 pounds. It is insane, man. I'm sick to death of eating all this ground beef and eggs and rice and chicken. But I have this new personal trainer. We've been kind of going through some different stuff. I'm bulking up, and then I'm going to start cutting either when I hit 300 bench press or the 1st of March, whatever comes sooner.
Are you afraid that once you start cutting, you're going to lose that weight, so you got to get it back? So you want to hit it before you lose that weight, just so you can say, I've done it?
Well, so, I think for me, it's, in my experience with that kind of stuff, when I lose weight, because I gain quick and I lose quick, but like when I lose weight, a percentage of that, no matter how clean I try and eat, is going to be muscle. Mm-hmm. I want to try and mitigate that as much as possible, but it's cool, man. I've never been this strong before in my life, and it's
is a cool feeling.
It's really damn cool. Yeah. Like I was doing.
That's why it's a club.
Yeah, right. I was doing, because I don't really do deadlifts too much anymore, but I was doing like 485 for rack pulls
without really training.
Yeah,
that's what's crazy. Like you have naturally tree trunk, like natural fucking huge ass legs. I don't think anyone knows it because you see like just the top half, but like. Your legs are fucking like for the people who know sports, like Saquon Barkley size thighs. Like,
it's pretty cool.
They're ridiculous. And so if you add some training onto that, dude, it's gonna be like you could actually like compete in some competitions. Yeah, I'm dead ass.
I've got a good friend that does
next Vader or whatever the hell, David Prowse.
Oh yeah.
He's a bodybuilder. They go, hey, you're big and strong.
Well, I've got Vader. A good buddy of mine, John, who is. He is my height, but he's probably about 30, 40 pounds heavier than me.
Oh, yeah, he's also 6'5".
Right.
If you didn't know.
But, like, ladies, I've already seen someone, it's okay.
I'm 6'1".
Ladies. But he is, like, he does competitions, and he competes, and he is insane to keep up with.
You said this is your trainer?
This is your buddy? Yeah, guy who's, like, training me, and, like, he is, you know, he's my buddy, also my trainer. But he did, for 2 reps, you're not even going to believe this. It was 405 on the incline bench press. He is jacked, man.
I believe it.
I've seen it before. It's so insane.
Do you know who James Harrison is?
No.
James Harrison is an ex-NFL player, so here's some contents for you right there. Okay. Some context. He was ex-linebacker and defensive end.
Big guy.
Defensive lineman. Sorry. Not linebacker. Defensive lineman. This dude is the guy, if you ever seen on the video, the black guy who was throwing beach ball, like playing volleyball with the med balls.
Yeah.
It's that guy, if you ever seen him. He recently just did casual, like, I think about 460 or 440.
That's so insane, man.
Like 10 or 11 times on, like, Instagram or something.
Jesus.
Look at James Harrison. He's just doing, like, this, and then it just says, like, casual. So those are the different. And he's not 6'5". He's probably, like, I don't know how tall he is, but he's not 6'5".
Yeah.
But then again, that's someone who is just driven to be an absolute animal.
Yeah,
even after his career,
I get kind of paranoid when I go super heavy, especially when it comes to. That's why I really don't do deadlifts like that much over 3 plates anymore. Because I kind of top off deadlifts around 350, probably like that. I don't want to go for 4 plates because I don't know. Like I'm not doing it at like an Olympic professional level, and like when you start getting up there, I get really worried about hurting my lower back. And that sort of stuff. So
you'll be fine as long as you do it the same way you've been doing it. The weight shouldn't matter because the strength is going to come after you doing it all the time.
Yeah.
And with the size and the form, whatever it is, you're always – it's like bench press. That's why like lifting weights is for everybody because it's the more you do it, the better you get. There is no really decline.
Yeah.
There is a top because you're human and we have, you know, ceilings.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like you're right. You're not doing it for – You're not who are you doing it for? You're doing it for yourself.
Yeah.
And so, like, wherever you want to stop is wherever you want to stop. But I noticed with bench press, I feel like I'll never be able to lose it because once you get in to the gym, like, for someone like me with natural strong arms or in a chest, it's like I just need to get in there, like, 4 times for 2 weeks, and now I'm back to where I was.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of people, like, like what you're kind of implying is like, if I don't get this now, I don't know when I'm ever going to be back here. You know, so when I cut
weight. I'll stay up there. Like, I'll stay probably, like, if I had to guess, like, my one rep max right now, and I don't really know, you know, it'll fluctuate that much if I lose this much weight. But right now, I think it's at 285. So, like, I'm within spitting distance of 300. I could probably get it on a really good day where I, like, carb loaded and got, like, a really good rest or whatever. You know,
Michael Scott.
Alfredo. Just like, but, so I'm excited to try and hit that before March. But, you know, if I end up dieting in, which, you know, I'm probably going to lose about 25, hopefully, 30 pounds. It's not. With fasting, that weight just flies off, man. It's
crazy. The thing I was going to ask you about, that because you've done multiple different types of fasts.
Yeah.
I am actually starting that as well. I texted you that I'm booked my training and stuff. So I'm actually going to start the Orange Theory movement. Okay. And so I'm going to, because I know my body based off of athletics I've ever done throughout my whole life, the only real way that I ever really lose weight, visible weight, and, you know, get my pounds down, it's not through lifting weights. It's through cardio and activity.
That's what you're telling me.
And so the worst part about it is I know this, but I don't ever want, like, I'll go like, hey, Alex, you want to go to lift some weights? Yeah, fuck yeah, let's go do it. Well, Luke, you want to go lift weights? Fuck yeah, let's do it. Luke, you want to go run 3 miles?
Yeah.
You know, I got a lot of paperwork to do.
It's the worst.
I'm always yelling at me to get this kitchen cleaned, you know.
Yeah. No, it sucks.
So I just need someone to, you know, get, if I'm paying for it, then I'll get my ass in the gym and run. So I'm going to see how this goes for 3 months. And I'm still doing the food, so I'm not eating anything. That's why I think I sent you the Joe Rogan diets and all this stuff. I kept looking up all this stuff. I thought it was funny. I'm not really going to do a carnivore diet.
Right.
But, you know, I'm eating only strictly meat and vegetables and then fruit, and then the rest I'm going to get from vitamins.
Yeah.
And water, obviously.
I did
2 meals a day.
About 3 weeks at the start of January, strictly vegan for 3 weeks. And this girl that I'm seeing now.
Oh, I saw those Snapchats. That's right.
Yeah. She is a hell of a cook. Like, an amazing, amazing cook. Perhaps. And she, like, I don't know if it's just rare for our generation or what, but, like, she is the first girl that, like, I have, like, actually dated that, like, really knew how to cook. And I'm like, this is absolutely
incredible. It's kind of cool.
It's amazing. And, like, she basically, if she didn't tell me it was vegan, I would not be able to figure that out.
I can relate. Like,
It's a great feeling, man.
I can relate to, so my wife, you know, or Molly, she's gluten-free.
Oh, okay.
And so everything she makes, she needs to make for both of us.
Right.
And so it needs to be gluten-free. There's certain things that she makes that I cannot tell if it's gluten-free or not.
Yeah.
So she tells me, and I'm kind of like, I don't like it anymore. but there's, then again, I don't know if you had this experience too, is where Molly would make something, and it is very clearly, night and day, it is gluten-free, and you're like, oh. God, I mean, yeah, it's great for gluten free. You know, it's like,
I mean, it took me a few times eating tofu for the first time.
Oh no, no.
It took me a little bit of like, this tastes weird. But did that for about 3 weeks in January, and then I was like, okay, I actually want to go back to living again. So no, I'm kidding. I will try it again. I'll try and see if I can go a full month.
Did you feel any different, like, with your body while you're doing it?
My complexion definitely, like, cleared up. Like, I looked healthier. I had this weird kind of glow.
You get some, like, not like, I mean, it's like your face
facial shape
a little bit different.
No.
You feel skinnier neck or anything
but
like that.
But see, that's the interesting thing, is that I actually, like, gained a little bit of weight on the vegan diet, which I don't know if it was just because of, like, a psychosomatic thing, because at that point I was doing pretty crazy, like, day fasts and that kind of stuff. But when I started to do vegan for a little bit, I found that I couldn't. Or if I could, who am I kidding? But, like, it was way harder for me to do the same kind of fast. I don't know if it just was, like, I was getting different nutrients or what, but it was definitely way more difficult. But I gained about, like, you know, 3 or 4 pounds, which on me, it's, like, not even noticeable. But, of course, when I'm, you know, weighing myself once a week, I'm like, the fuck? What the hell's going on?
Fuck this vegan shit. Yeah. It's all scam.
So, that was actually the turning point. I'm like, well, just fuck it. I want to get this bulk going for about a month and a half. And just try and see if I can get up to 300 pounds on the bench press.
That's really cool, dude. I hope you get it. I mean, it's definitely a feeling.
I could get it.
But then again, when you get there, you make sure. It's like dunking. It's like, I've only dunked one time in my life. Sorry. I'm sorry, black community. But I'm a thicker person, you know. More of a, earthbound. I'm not a Skywalker.
Right,
but
right,
I played baseball. Yeah. But when I did it, my brother kept saying, he's like, hey. He said it two times. He said, hey, you either do it and you can do it again in front of people, or not do it and you're gonna record. So I try to record, I'm like, hey, I gotta show everyone on the internet I can do this. It's not, you're gonna say, you're not gonna get it anymore. You're not gonna get it anymore. So my advice to you is, when you do it, make sure you can do it without anyone there. And if you want to show anybody, or you want to have it just for the memory of anyone doubting you, then you record it. Because I just recently did it again back over at Christmas break.
Yeah.
I think I showed you. I made sure that no one could say anything about it. I made sure my trainer was away from it. So it was just me in the bar.
Yeah.
I'd take it off myself and put it down, put up myself. That was legit. And everyone
kind of,
I felt the, you know, the guy love. It was great. Yeah. So hopefully.
Start smacking your chest and strutting around. Yeah.
Done for the day.
Yeah.
That's the only thing we did. I'm done. So hopefully you don't get the slack. Hopefully people be like, oh, it's not a real one. You got to lift off.
Yeah. I don't get
it. I think you do. I mean, I feel like these type of things, for me, I guess, for me. I shouldn't say it. Yeah, I shouldn't project on you. For me, for these type of things, you small male prides. You know, most of the time it's like, if you think I'm a delusional, you think I'm crazy or whatever the hell it is, mm-hmm. I know that's not true, so it doesn't bother me.
Right.
But when you say I can't get 300 and I'm showing you I can get 300 and then you still have something to say, I'm like, you know what, motherfucker? Like, that's when I get a little salty.
So, no, like for me, is if I can do it and if I know I do it, and I'm talking about like a full all the way down, bar touches the chest, like no kind of pussy rep or whatever, half reps. Or
Will Birch.
There is a guy, sorry, brief tangent. There is a guy, he's probably like 60 years old, that goes to the gym. He loads it up, 3 plates, and gets on, he does the bench, and he does like these quarter reps, and he just like reps them out, and then he like throws it back and starts like acting so like he's this stupid. Really tough.
I've seen that on
it's ridiculous.
The internet.
But if I could do like a full rep, clean rep, nobody is going to be able to take that away from me.
See,
I don't know. And again, for me, like my goal is not to get like super big, like that crazy bodybuilder look was never really super appealing.
You want a shirtless summer though.
Yes, yeah, that well, that's the goal.
Yeah, like, shirtless summer. So, oh yeah, I'll go skins. Skins anybody?
We're not playing skins. No, I'm going skins. Let's just do skins.
Everybody, let's get skins.
Come on,
hey you fatty.
Skins. Yeah. So you pick start all the making... fat people first. You're like, guys, check this out. Whoa,
you start switching sides. I thought you were one of us. I was. Got my goggins on.
I don't know if I told you this, but I think I messaged you this maybe.
The audiobook?
Yeah, I've been listening to that. Can't Hurt Me, David Goggins. I've been on a huge audiobook kick, and God, that man had such a crazy hard life. Like, I thought I knew his shit when he was on Rogan.
Mm-hmm.
Not even close. Like, and the stuff that he's done, I'm like 3/4 of the way to it. If you have a choice between getting the audiobook or getting a physical hard copy book, I would get the audiobook because...
Is it narrated by him?
So they do this interesting thing where it's almost like a podcast format where the ghost writer and David Goggins both sit in the booth and the ghost writer reads it. And then at the end of every, let's say, chapter, they talk about it. And so you get different little insights into that. And he's
so it's like
even
the DVD commentary.
Yeah, like, 100%. Yeah. And it's like, it's really interesting. But I've been doing training. I have been working on this project that is probably going to be starting to have some stuff to be shared with probably, I would say, late March. And this is just a heads up. If you guys are watching this video, let's say later this year or any of the Digital Fireside videos, like searching through it meticulously for any kind of clues or hints or something, not going to be there. Mm-hmm. Totally. This is not a part of whatever it is I'm doing. This is totally just me and Luke vibing.
Or have done.
We're just vibing, out of character. This is not even, just enjoy it.
There's no continue out. It's not the MCU, guys.
Yeah, there's not some secret like pattern. Watch how many times Luke blinks during the sequence.
Oh, Sakurai.
Yeah, right. Fuck. Can we talk about that for a second?
Go ahead.
I hate Sakurai.
I
hate him. He should have. I wanted Dante for Smash so bad. And they made it seem like, because they have the Switch port of DMC3 coming out, and it's got new features. That day, it had they had a special announcement synced up to the same trailer date for Smash Brothers. And it's Blythe.
This dude's holding three.
Yeah, he's like, three.
It's three houses.
It's like, Sakurai, what is that? Yeah, fuck, it was, wasn't it? Like,
yeah.
Jesus.
How come no one put that together? Because no one could have believed, like, there's no way.
Dude, you know, it'd be sick.
Put another
Fire Emblem character.
I felt bad, though, because he did come out with a statement. He's like, guys, like, these have already, like, again, because in the direct, he's like, this video was recorded in November.
Yeah.
He's like, guys, that means the video was recorded in November. It means the production was in July, like yeah. when the game probably came out. Yeah. You know? And he's like, guys, it's Nintendo that has the say. Like, sure, I have a little bit of input, but I'm just the actor that, you know, that yeah. makes the movie work.
I've got to try and sell this shit now that yeah. you guys are pissed off. It's not anyone.
So he came out with a statement saying that. I was like, oh, man, the community's putting too much on the guy. He hasn't slept in 6 years. He's got six more fighters and yeah. me costumes and stages.
Who do you think is going to be, well, quick Smash Brothers minute, real fast here. Who do you think is going to be, if you had to pick two people, like safe bet predictions?
No, safe bets.
On
one Hail Mary? Let's do that. One Hail
yeah,
Mary.
Safe, like, okay. Yeah.
Two safe bet, one Hail Mary.
Yeah, for the next Fighter Pass, which is the next six characters until 2021?
Into 2021, that's probably going to be it.
Okay.
Sure bet, I would say. See, if this was before Byleth, I would have said for sure, I would have probably said like Rayman or something.
Yeah.
But I don't see how his move. I don't know how he's going to make that his moveset work or anything like that. That's he looks like a character that would be a part of it, but it doesn't translate as well as people think it does.
Right.
Especially with like the Amiibo sales and stuff. How are you going to do limbless character floating? Like I don't know. Anyway, yeah. Sure bets. Ah, man. I would have said. Let's see. Kirby. There needs to be a Kirby.
Kirby needs to get a Smash
button. No. Yeah. But I'm thinking of some character. Well, I'm trying to think of his name. Because I'm surprised there's only three representatives from Kirby. And he made Kirby.
Yeah.
And he also made Smash Bros. So I'm surprised that there isn't maybe Waddle D, Bandana D. He's been popular in every poll ever since they had the poll in Smash 4. I think Bandana D is a very good choice. He's not sword. He's cute, fluffy like the mascots are supposed to be, and he's from a game. He's very comfortable with making those movesets. The second guy, I'm thinking of probably a Pokemon from the newest games, probably a Gen 8 Pokemon.
Okay.
They have a lot of representatives too, so, I mean, it's tough, but probably going to happen. Maybe Cinderace. We could probably call it Cinderace. And then Hail Mary's Hat Kid from Smash in Time. A Hat in Time. Really, really want to see that happen. I just think she's perfect for it. Okay. Female representative, cute and cuddly, has the moveset already. Like, people already made these movesets for it, it seems. And she has alts and a stage. Like, it's all pretty. Look up Hat Kid for Smash on Twitter. Look him up. He's got good ideas.
All right. I'm going to say Dante is for sure going to be in this DLC or this whatever pack. Dante from Devil May Cry, probably three. I'm going to say Sora from Kingdom Hearts.
No.
You don't
Disney,
think so?
Did you see that? Disney blocked that.
Oh, really?
Nintendo had approached Disney for it.
Oh, shit.
Because it's partly owned Square Enix, yeah. And then Square Enix sure said, yeah, sure, whatever.
Yeah.
Disney doesn't want it that's to
weird.
Happen.
Okay, so Sora's off.
So that's the only reason why I'm interrupting, because that's no longer a surefire bet.
Okay. Dante, I'm going to say Travis Touchdown from No More Heroes.
Oh, yeah. I don't like the character, but that's not the question.
Yeah. And then Longshot, which is not a long shot. If you've watched the hidden signs that Sakurai has littered in his numerous videos over the past 12 years.
12 years.
Goku. He's going to be in it. He's going to be the last fucking
character. I thought
you
were going to say, like, Crash or something.
No, no, it's going to be Goku.
Goku's not. He already said that no one that didn't originate from a video game is going to be in it.
Goku.
You have to originate from a video game first.
You heard it here first. It'd be Goku.
And that was Smash 2 minutes.
Yeah, Smash 15 minutes.
If you like more content, like, share, and subscribe.
Yeah, we'll see. I've been trying to get in this process of doing this work for this story, I've been trying to get a composer. Mm. So if you are a composer and know someone, specifically string instruments, hit me up. Shoot me a DM or something like that. But on the flip side, I've been kind of making some of my own music. I actually found that I'm pretty good at
beats.
No, more just like replicating stuff that I've heard, like just by ear.
So,
like without reading the sheet music for it. Like I'm one of those like weird.
But what are you playing?
Piano.
Okay, so I first thought you were doing a computer, like making. I'm like, well, yeah.
You just plug the MP3 in and it replicates it. Yeah. Genius.
Oh, but piano, that's pretty cool. I mean, that's very Elton John like. Do you know his story?
No, I don't.
He doesn't know how to read music. And Bernie, his partner, or not actual partner, but like his music partner that he grew up with the whole time. He's only had one fight with him in all their years together. He writes all the songs. And Elton, he literally, so it's like me and you. You write the song, and you go, Luke, put music to it, and we got a song.
That's cool.
I feel like, which job would be harder, though?
Oh, I don't know.
Because you could be writing words with syllables that just can't, that just don't work with the melodies I'm thinking, slash making the melody and singing it, and playing the piano, remembering what you used. It's just tough. That's why they're legendary. But
it's great.
I hope you get the person you're looking for. And guys, really know how to play. Don't be like, oh, I want to work with Alex, so that means I'm gonna kind of know how to play. It's like, no, if you know how to play, you know if you know how to play.
Yeah.
But hopefully that goes well for you.
It's exciting stuff. Yeah, I can't say anything more about it right now.
It's the classic. I wish I could tell you guys.
No, it's just tempering expectations and not getting too excited about something ahead of time and then being like, hey, there's going to be a delay or yada, yada, yada.
Can't wait to see your comments for that.
Yeah.
The usual suspects will come back.
It's out when it's fucking out. Done with. Thank you. But
don't announce, just fucking do.
speaking of Bernie.
Feel the burn?
Have you been following the DNC kerfuffle?
So this is not the point. I start my locking in when there's like, three candidates left.
But realistically, right now, isn't there, though?
Yeah, it's probably Warren, Bernie. It's probably just Warren, Bernie. I think Biden's done.
Let's see.
He's kind of loony.
Kind of?
I think.
We called this shit way back. Like episode two.
Episode two. Biden Thanos.
Like, there's no way.
But what I am sad about. Oh, man, go ahead.
Well, I admit that I was wrong because I thought that Biden. I mean, we knew it would be a terrible choice, but I was thinking that he would be polling better than he currently is just because he's like, hey, Obama.
Yeah.
Remember that guy?
I was with him.
I was with him.
It doesn't work like that.
He is like anti-charisma. Yes. On stage, every single time I watch the debates, he is scatterbrained. He looks like he doesn't know where he is half the time.
Sleepy Joe,
you know, and like, you know what? God bless him for getting this far.
With that,
I think anyone else, if they didn't have Obama's legacy to piggyback off of, would have sunk by now.
So what does that say? So that's saying he's not really, he hasn't done anything is pretty much what you just said.
Yeah.
So
he hasn't done anything. Like, so really.
Obama's done his campaign for him.
Kind of.
Yeah, I mean, it's good. It's a good valid point.
There was a quote, I forget, it was like by the New York Times or something, where it's like, Obama was talking to Biden. There's this choice quote where Obama goes, you don't have to do this, Joe. It was more like, it was less like a sympathetic, like, hey, I know you just had some personal family trauma. It's like more like, really? You probably shouldn't.
He's probably thinking like, you know what? They're probably going to somehow trace this back to me and attribute your failure with being undermined.
I wonder if people are looking at him more analytically. I was like,
Obama. He smiled for too long. Yeah. What I am sad about, though, is you texted me yesterday, so I had to make sure it was true. I was like, man, I was really pulling for this horse. Andrew Yang is no longer. And it feels weird because he had full steam ahead with last month or so. Like, he had his followers were rising.
Yeah.
His campaign seemed like it was just on the move. It was about to make some big chess moves. And then I think these recent polls came out with him not even being kind of close to the finish line. He's just like, I wonder what goes in your head. If you're a campaign manager, what do you look for? Not that you're an expert. He's not an expert. But just your knowledge, just common sense. What do you think of or what do you look for when your candidate's just like, didn't make the debate, is not doing any of this stuff, and it's just like, man, you should be more popular than you are. Is it just time to cut it? Like, what happens? Is it the voting? I think that's what happens, that last poll.
See, but that's
like, I'm not polling at all.
That's the kind of the weird thing about where the DNC is at right now, because a few weeks back, it was kind of revealed that because Mike Bloomberg, the other guy who hasn't attended a single debate but is still, like, in the front running, quote unquote, made, you know, this donation of, like, $300 million or something insane. Probably not that much, but a sizable donation to the DNC. I can't remember if it's 300,000 or 300 billion. It's probably a big difference.
It's probably 300,000.
But it was something, you know, substantial that people were saying essentially that he kind of bought his way onto the debate stage and, you know, is still in the running because he has the money to blow. And whereas people like Andrew Yang, who
crowdfunded,
probably don't have as much, clearly don't have as much as a billionaire, are kind of shafted. And I think that him, because he was on the last debate, I think. Yes, he was on the Friday debate. So we're recording this on the 12th of February. So last Friday, there was a debate that he was on. And he missed the one before that. He didn't qualify. Some kind of weird nebulous. I'm going to get into this later because I'm furious at the DNC in general. But I think that people, you mentioned his Twitter followers were going up, which is true. But there was some research done that is like 5% of the country has an active Twitter account. So it's like, yeah, they may be getting 100,000, 200,000 retweets and likes or whatever. But realistically, when you try and pander or base a campaign strategy around your Twitter engagement, you have to realize you are focusing in on a very small percentage of people. Right. So I think...
But I don't think he did that.
I don't think he did that either. But
I saw it when beginning of his campaign when I started rooting for him, way back when.
Yeah.
And he
turned me on to Andrew Yang. He had
200,000, 300,000 now, yeah. And he had a million. Yeah. It almost looked like a YouTube channel type thing. Like you do like one video, all of a sudden everything shoots up. His popularity, he was going to late night. He was doing all this stuff with all the shows. He's doing what everyone else was doing. So that's why I was surprised because he seemed like he was finally getting people to really know who he was. And then right when people were finally like, oh, Andrew Yang. What does he have to offer? Lights are out.
Well, I think he also, looking at his statement that he made, he also got out probably premature.
I think so, too.
But intentionally.
At least until June.
But intentionally, though, because I think he was looking at it through the lens of, like, let's not divert any more, traffic to different candidates. Let's try and start uniting behind one person now. I think maybe that was his idea. I think that he is like, after really doing some research on him, I think if he ran 4 years later, 8 years later, he would be way more popular. See, I think he is getting out ahead of it.
Right.
No, automation doesn't affect enough people right now for his platform to really resonate with people, and it's a shame.
Until Elon Musk invents the next fucking crazy thing.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, it sucks because he was not an establishment candidate. And so he was kind of – I think he's going to go in Bernie's side, to be honest. And I could see him getting a cabinet position as well.
But I was about to ask you, do you think he's going to be someone's vice president? Because he did say early on, like one of the first two debates, I remember clearly, he's like, it's either you're going to all – everyone's start copying me. I don't know. I'm going to win or people are going to start sounding a lot like me.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know who they give it to.
Might be a BP. But I think if he would have stayed there longer, like you said – that sets you up like Bernie. Like that sets you up for the next time if you want to run. So more people really know who you are. But I feel like if you try to run again, it's almost like starting over, to be honest.
Well, I think the issues that he will talk about, if he does run in 2024, will be more relevant. And people will start to understand a little bit more that, hey, this is going to be a huge problem that we need to take care of. But I don't know if they will pick him up for VP. Because... as someone who has been following this whole DNC thing, I think the party is in complete disarray right now because
they're focused on impeaching.
But if you look at if you look at that, like, just from like a perspective of, let's say the two main top candidates, would you say it's maybe Buttigieg and Bernie, or who would you say the two top frontrunners would be?
I'd say Warren and not Warren first, but I'd say it's Bernie and then Warren.
But see, I thought that too, but Warren polled in Nebraska, which I think is the most recent tally last night. She got like 10%. She was like, it went Bernie, Bernie, Buttigieg, Klobuchar, Warren, and Biden. And you know what? It's Nebraska or whatever it is. Just like, hey, it was Iowa, but those, it means a little bit more to people because people like to vote for the winner. So if they see someone doing well in those early states, like they'll be more likely to, kind of invest behind them.
So but, you're kind of like the, oh, well, it's kind of like when you're looking at answers, you're like, oh, everyone's got 16 isn't the answer. Like, what, you know, I should probably put 16 too. It's kind of something like that. Where
yeah. Kind of fall. I think so.
And maybe they're seeing something I'm not.
Because you think about it, but Biden's whole campaign was based on electability.
That's true.
Really? And so, like, okay, if you're seeing someone pulling in first and second in Iowa and Nebraska, even though Iowa and Nebraska are kind of fringe states in terms of, like, you know, their mix-up of the population, that's electability, really. I mean, it's like, okay, well,
and
subconsciously.
And Buttigieg's going to win California.
Dude, that came out of fucking
that's gonna happen.
Nowhere.
Well, no, if you remember Biden, Thanos, I did say he had all the likable traits.
I guess,
straight,
though.
Not straight. He's a white guy from a red state.
Yeah.
Going against the grain. He's gay, and he served in the military, and he's, like, the youngest mayor or whatever.
Yeah.
It's all worked out. It's going to – this dude, Pete, is something to be feared. I remember I said that.
Yes, I think they made a mistake. But I think Warren made a mistake by not targeting him sooner. But – okay, so I'm sorry. So I got distracted. But back to my original point. Like, let's say – okay, let's just say, according to Nebraska, and I know that's not indicative of the whole country, but let's look at the two front runners with that.
Okay.
Right, coming out of Nebraska – God, I hope it was Nebraska they did this vote in last night, or else I'm going to seem like an idiot.
Dumbass.
Yeah, but so, like, okay, look at the two frontrunners. Bernie Sanders in first, and very nearly tied with him is Pete Buttigieg.
Mm.
You look at those two platforms, they might as well be running different parties. Like, one is Medicare for all. One of them is, like, all – they call themselves Democratic Socialists. And the other is a very establishment – you know, candidate. That's why you have people like AOC saying, you know, like she doesn't feel like she belongs in the Democratic Party.
I don't listen to anything she says. I don't listen to anything.
I don't really either. But the thing is, like, she is one of the more outspoken voices right now.
Yeah.
She, you know, I think she's a little naive on some issues, but I can respect her for getting to where she is. I mean, that's a pretty big leap from being a bartender to being, you know. But again, I think that naivety will go away as she gets more experience. But you know, she was saying, and she's very on record about how she doesn't feel like she belongs to the Democratic Party in the same kind of vein as, say, Hillary Clinton does.
Mm-hmm.
So you have these two different, like, ideals, basically, two different platforms that, like, hey, you know, if Pete Buttigieg wins, he's not going to implement Medicaid for all.
No.
He's not going to try and go for this whole entirely open borders thing.
I, like, could totally see him being someone that changes the switch, though. Flips his switch when he gets elected. I can see him saying, oh, I'm not going to do it. And then he gets elected, like, you know what, guys? You know what we should do? We should do this. I can see him totally doing whatever it takes to get there and then just kind of like.
That's why I don't like
switching
it.
I could totally see him being like,
you're right. You were so right because I was like, wait a second. I'm like, oh, shit. I could totally see him doing
that.
Yeah. I don't know. Buttigieg doesn't really. He doesn't. Rub me the right way.
But like, what's impressive is
great, like,
is like you said the word platform, and it got me thinking, dude, you got so much more coverage on one side, and the other side, people are just now finding out who he is after he wins.
Yeah.
So Sanders, everyone, the whole world knows Sanders. He's got all these. I'm once again asking you for your help. All this stuff, and then I have yet to see outside. Oh, I'm in Indiana. I still don't even see. Pete.
There is one.
Commercials.
I've seen one.
And he's from Indiana.
Yeah. Like, well, I think the big thing is that he doesn't resonate with a lot of black voters. That's a big thing that even came up in the
I don't think my computer knows I'm black. Bernie shows up all the time.
You'd be surprised the information Google has. It's like, this guy is probably,
he's probably black.
Like, no, but like, that's the thing that I think is, it's a big schism. Schism between the Democratic Party, because do you think that even like last year or last election, 1 in 10, so 10% of Bernie Sanders supporters were so disenfranchised with the party that they voted for Trump? This is on record. Like they've done studies on this. I can't imagine now at this point with both candidates from the same party having such conflicting ideals, I don't think that one completely absorbs the other. Like, for example, with the Democrat or with the Republicans, Donald Trump, when he won the primary, he's an asshole. And he talks a lot of shit. But like his policies, you know, stronger border control, Second Amendment rights, taxation, that kind of stuff, all that sort of stuff. Like those are more like abortion, anti-abortion laws. Those are kind of congruent with what other Republican platforms are. So it's like, okay, I may not like the guy, but as a Republican, he wants what I want. So I'm going to fall in line for that.
Yeah.
With if I'm a Democrat supporting Bernie Sanders, which I haven't really decided. I was for Bernie in 2016. I think his platform has changed a little bit in 2020. I'm still kind of on the fence. But if I am a Bernie Sanders supporter and he loses to, let's say, Buttigieg, I mean, I can't like really just fall in line with that because it's not really the platform
that I
want.
It's going to be 2016 all over again.
That's honest to God. It's
where you don't want to vote for Hillary, but you don't want to vote for Trump, so you vote for Gary Johnson. I don't know who would do that.
Ron Paul.
I don't know who would do that at all. Right. That's almost like a wasted vote. But whoever it is out there that does those things, you probably should not do that. That's fucking weird.
But see, like that's the thing is I don't know because they have cast this big net over the party and having two different idealistic people you know, at the front runners of this stuff, I don't know how much overlap there really is. And I don't think that the Democrats are the kind of people, by and large, they're more emotional than Republicans.
No.
I don't think they will fall in line. Like, I don't think they do. I don't think they put party over everything else like the Republicans tend to. Mm. So I don't know what happens. And you look at Trump's approval rating right now, it is as high, if not higher, than when he first was elected.
But the thing is, like, he hasn't even done the things that he says he's going to do, but he has a great Twitter presence. Did you see I didn't send you that tweet last night. Did you see the tweet? This timeline is ridiculous. Not the timeline on Twitter, but our timeline that we are living in is not real. You tweeted the curb your enthusiasm.
Yes, yes. See, that's the thing is that some people tough are going to like, rake Trump. Me over the coals for this. Like,
oh
but
God.
I have laughed out loud at some of his tweets. And, like, I'm not even a big, like, stand for the guy. Like, I don't know. He could go into comedy if he has that kind of presence.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like he's
it's
definitely
ridiculous, man.
He's definitely gonna win. He's gonna get reelected. Let's get wrong.
Are you on board this trade with me? Are you?
No, I don't want it to happen.
I know, but
it's kind of like I don't want this guy to win
the
championship. Like, I just know they're going to win. Yeah. You know, he's gonna win because it's yes, like you said the proof rating is up the ass and around the corner. He's also got freaking everyone who is salty about all the impeachment stuff who are going to rally even harder to try to make it even worse for people who try to doubt him. Yeah. And on top of that, the people who feel like everything is great, even though nothing has really changed, I feel like you can't feel – like most time, this guy was promising absolute change, almost similar to Obama. Obama had more leeway because things were actual shit at the time. And so I feel like, honestly, if anyone were elected at that time – we were going to get out of it anyway, in a sense. I don't know how far, but we were going to get out of it. So, like, anyone who did something was going to get credited with something. I'm not saying he didn't do anything. I'm not saying he did a lot. I'm just saying it was easier to be a good president when times are bad than it is, in my opinion, than it is when things are good. Because, like, George W. Bush, he was all great until now I got to do something. All right, real quick.
Stop reading that storybook to those kids.
That's what I'm saying. Like, now I actually got to make some moves.
You imagine that? It's like, that's the Curb Your Enthusiasm music right there. It's like, oh, no.
Shit. No, no. You're kidding, right? Well, I just got a jokester.
They fell.
What? What do you mean? Like dominoes? It's not okay. No. It's not out of context. It'd be out of context. But I feel like now, like, the reason why I think I've said this to you before, the hardest part of Trump's campaign, which isn't actually that hard, but the hardest part, the two hardest parts, one, not fucking anything up, and two, you have to have a different platform besides berating and smoke and mirrors. You have to now stand on your own merits, you know, and not be this fake, like, this fake type thing. It's like, you know, I'm the best that there ever has been. That these general statements aren't going to work this time around. You're going to have to come with the facts. You're going to have to come with the data. And you're going to have to come with what you have done in the last 4 years.
Yeah.
So people will have it clear and concise. This is exactly what it is. This is what we're voting for. As opposed to when he's in 2016, where he's like, he doesn't have anything. He doesn't have to, like, prove anything because he wasn't in office. He can just be like, Obama did this, and this is why it's wrong, and Sanders is this, and this is what he's a socialist, all this stuff, and Hillary is crooked. You know, it's like you can't sway the masses anymore. Now it's all on you. You were in charge the last 4 years.
Yeah.
So now you have to answer these people who are going to come after you.
I think what he'll do is he will
can't
double
make anything
down.
Up anymore.
I think he'll double down on the economy and – Dude, honest to God, I feel like every time this comes up, the issue of the economy comes up, it depends on who I ask because either the president was responsible for the economy or it was the previous president before them responsible.
It's
I don't know how that should work.
It's both.
But
I kind of know.
Oh, yeah?
To not down to the nickels and dimes, but to the point of plans, like anything else, plans take time to install. There is no plan in government that will ever take less than maybe 3 months to do. Mm-hmm. Okay, so even if you come up with this greatest, the greatest economical plan of all time, it's still gonna have to go through a couple hundred. I don't know how many people are at about, but a couple hundred people's brains and process, and then everyone has to agree on it. And then if it doesn't agree, it can sway back and forth the whole process, right?
Right.
So that type of stuff, as this going on, as all this delegation is going on, real life is still happening. There's right. still markets going up and down. All this stuff's still happening. So you still have to find ways. I guess in the private sector, all that stuff to figure that out. But with what's going on with this stuff, so like let's say the Obama administration, the Bush administration, whose fault was the reception? Everyone's like, oh, Bush.
Yeah, because it happened right when he took office, right? Obama.
It happened like
in 2008,
during
right?
the race, like right. Oh, yeah. 2007, yeah. And then 2008 he got elected.
Yeah,
he started in 2008. So he got elected in 2007, started in 2008. Pretty sure.
2009, he started.
Okay, so start. Yeah, I was in eighth grade. Yeah, that's right. So it's 2008, got elected in November, took office 2009. Okay. So that was that first full year of that. And so everyone's like gathering around, like, we got to get out of that. But, like, what the war did that to us. Bush didn't really do that, but he's going to get credited for it because of the decision he made to go to war. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, Obama, he got us out of a little bit, and he did the things that he said he would do, but at the same time, was like, that's not enough. You know, getting the unemployment down below 8%, you'd probably laugh at that now because it's so much lower now.
Yeah.
But who got that low, right?
Yeah.
He had 8 years to do that, and all of a sudden the first year Trump's in, it's now like 5% or lower. It's like, no, he didn't do that in a year, guys.
Yeah.
Like, open your eyes. But he gets the credit, though, because, you know, he had the plans. Or maybe certain plans took that year, and while he was in office, Trump's like, you know, this is a good plan. I'm not going to say it publicly, but this is a good plan. I'll sign it, and that's my law.
It's like, I did this.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, it's something I would do. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't, especially first-term presidents, I wouldn't be like, yeah, Obama made this, or Obama's team and the people who worked with Obama, they did this. Obama administration did this, but I took it. No one's going to say that.
Yeah.
He'd be like, no, we did this. Our first year, people. 100 days. This is what we did. First 100 days, God. We did this. And I remember him doing all that stuff. It's like, where's my wall, Trump? Where's my wall? I didn't ask for it, but you promised it. So I'm like, where it at? Where's my wall? Where are all these people coming in to steal our jobs? Like, are they still coming in? I haven't seen anything change in Indiana.
Yeah, to be fair, we are probably pretty isolated from the rest of the
either
border
way, states. Dude. He was acting like as if like some masses, same way people thought going to Canada is going to fix everything. He's like, the masses were just coming to take our jobs and kill us and stab and rape our wives. I was like, what, are we going to war again? That's the way he made it seem.
But Trump said it.
They're going to take our
Trump.
Guns. Like,
yeah.
That's one thing I too. The gun stuff, you said Second Amendment. I don't mind you having a gun. I don't have a problem with guns at all because guns aren't bad. I'm not going to say the whole people are a bad thing, but if you have it in as a way to defend yourself, I'm all for that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you use it as intimidation and or a factor to get something and gain without any type of, initiation, and you're using it as a way to kind of cover who you are and well, not like bully society, but in a way, yeah, intimidation is bullying. So that is when it's cowardice. That's when I believe you shouldn't have a gun.
Yeah.
But if you were into a situation like your house, like you said, or not like you said, but like we've seen, just because you're bigger, stronger, and know how to fight don't mean you're going to get the job done, right? This guy may have gotten your kid. Now he's got a hold on your kid and could pop his neck off.
Yeah. Or if the bad guy has a gun.
Or he has a gun. But let's say he doesn't. I mean, like, yeah. But you could beat him up. You're like, oh, that's no problem. But now he's got your kid. So now you're like, one more move, he's done. Like, how are you going to reach him?
Yeah.
Gun under the counter. Pop!
Time skip.
Time skip.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only time. I'm okay with them. I mean,
I kind of
had them for millennia, but people have had them for hundreds of years, and we're fine with them. It's just that stop being a dick with them.
Yeah, well, I agree. I think we probably could be harder on that, but
Hamilton and all of them. I also saw Hamilton over the set when they came to town.
Yeah,
they were walking around with them as if they were like. You know, wallets.
Check this out.
they just didn't shoot people for no reason. They challenged you. They didn't just come up and run up in your spot. They're just like, you know what? We're going to shoot each other at the same time. The best man wins. That should be a thing. Or like back in the day where like I saw a tweet. It was pretty funny. He's like, remember the time when – or it must have been crazy to be alive at the time where you could just duel a nigga for his girl and then take
she's
her.
She's kind of cute. I want her.
Like, what do you mean? No, we've been together for 8 years. I want her. See you at noon.
Fuck.
And then he – I got to do this, sweetie.
I got to do this.
If I don't, he's going to fuck you. What's the problem?
Well, thank God we've evolved past that.
That's what I'm saying. Now it's just, she just cheats on you.
Yeah. Let's see. Well, okay, so back to our topic.
Like, Sleepy Joe?
Yeah. Well, the only way, and I don't know, like, do you see a path to victory for the Democrats? And
no.
I honestly don't. I think that there is a long shot that involves so many factors. It would have to be there would have to be some kind of marriage, quote unquote marriage, between the Democratic establishment and one of the progressive candidates. Whether that is Biden and Warren or Sanders and like I would say maybe Klobuchar. I thought she had a really strong presence at the debate Friday.
The Trump's got all the cards in his hand, though, man. Like,
yeah.
Like he just gets to sit back and watch everyone make fools of themselves. Yeah. Meanwhile, no one's running. No one's on the Republican side can do anything about it.
Yeah, they had two people try and run against him in Iowa or something. They got like 1% of the vote.
It's like
did you see that he got the other guy got booed off? He's like, "Do you guys really want 4 more years of Trump?" And then the entire crowd was like, "Yeah!" booed him off, and it's like, "Oh, shit."
So it's like the thing is. Because nothing tragically went south, like tragically, like everyone thought it was going to happen with Trump.
Yeah,
people think he's doing a great job.
Yeah,
just because you know, it's like that participation. Like, here you go, kid.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't get first. Well, no, here's a trophy anyway.
Yeah,
it's kind of like that because he's like, see, he's not so bad. I'm sorry if I'm just profiling every Trump supporter.
I think they're used to it at this point. It's like, oh, Luke's going to do his thing again.
But it's like he's got all that. He's just going to sit back, and be like, you guys are looking like idiots, while I can actually work on myself and work on my plans and maybe not look as harsh or rash, but that may be his character now. But
I don't know. I think that they have, because a part of their, you know, the way this whole thing works is that they are going to have to literally attack each other to try and figure out who's going to be the primary winner. Meanwhile, Trump is just taking notes. Yeah. Like, oh.
Instead of just getting all the votes at the same time. If everyone dropped out except one person, they said, you know what, our goal is to get rid of Trump, they could do it. That's never going to happen.
But they're politicians.
That's never going to happen.
Egos won't let them do
that. Happen. Because if they started right now 1v1 and then run the race, I think Trump would lose.
I think that might be a good way to do it.
It's never going to happen.
It would
never
happen. Million years happen.
But it's the only way I see them winning. Trump is running. He's going to, because the only thing that's stopping him is if he would have gotten impeached.
Well, so who do you think is going to win the primary?
That doesn't matter.
I mean,
at this point, I really don't know. I need to see more numbers.
Yeah.
And I need to see more states other than the East, like the East side of the country. But we'll see when, like, the big, like Texas, we already know that that's going, but we're going to see how many people in Texas vote for them.
Yeah.
We need to see Cali. We need to see those weird, obscure states like Dakotas.
Careful, man. We're from Indiana. So
we at least have 1 million people in one city, unlike them who have 500,000 in the whole state.
something glass houses and stones, but okay.
If you could go live there like a billionaire if you wanted to right now.
Yeah.
But no one will visit you.
That's true. Good.
But no, I don't see anyone really. Right now I'd say Bernie. He's the name recognition. He's the only one that actually will sound legit standing up to Trump, and he won't take it down lying. He's been fighting for the same shit for 34, 50, 57, 80 years, you know. So he's not likely to stumble in a debate or anything like that. He's been doing this his whole life. He's not likely to retract on his steps.
Yeah.
He's like, no, I didn't say that. This is what I meant. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you have a debate, people be like, oh, you said this, like, make you second guess yourself. Trump can do that with a lot of people.
Yes.
He won't be able to do that with Sanders, I don't think.
I think
Sanders' health and age also are determined.
Those are big factors.
He doesn't look as good as Trump did when he ran, and Trump was at 70-something as well.
Yeah. Well, Bernie also had his heart attack, which is crazy.
So that doesn't look good.
I think that there is no way, and this is going to be a little bold of me, I think there is no way that Bernie Sanders gets
nomination.
I think they will do every single thing they can to prevent a democratic socialist from leading the party.
I don't think he calls – they don't call themselves
that.
They do. No, they don't.
Yes, they do. He didn't in 2016. He called himself a democratic socialist like 3 months ago.
You just said 2016.
No, he didn't in 2016, but he, like, this is his new plan, which is why, like, I liked Bernie in 2016. I think he's, I'm not totally on for, like, his totally open border policy or whatnot, so, like, I'm a little bit hesitant.
You know what Trump, all Trump needs to do, though?
What?
Really, if he just wants to win it now, and there's no coming back, it's like the cut, that's just the ending blow, is just say, I'm working on a student loan forgiveness plan. And he just drops the mic.
Yeah.
He's going to get all those votes.
Honest to God, like, I was thinking so he would do something like this. And I thought, for me, it wouldn't be student loans. I thought it was going to be he's keeping it in his back pocket. I think he's going to try and talk about legalization of marijuana at some point or decriminalizing it, because I think that's a very Democratic perspective.
Yeah, everyone's on the same side on that.
Right.
So you take that away from them.
Yeah, every rational person should be on the side of exploring other options.
Other than
pharmaceutical. Yeah, also DMT, but... That's like in 2050. My God, that's going to take a long time.
I was eating elk and was having some DMT.
Actually, DMT, it was one of the catalysts. One of the trips I had on DMT was one of the catalysts for what I am writing about now, which is super trippy. I can't wait to start showing it to you, man. I've got a partnership with this great software program that is helping me with it in some kind of capacity.
Nope. Stop.
Anyway, I think that, so first of all, I don't even think that Buttigieg even is legitimately, I think it's dubious a little bit. I'm not sure if he's really as popular as they're saying he is in Iowa. Yeah. Did you see that?
There's some Al Gore, Bush type stuff going on.
First of all, it took the Iowans, weenies,
Americans,
yeah, whatever. It took them a week to get the tally results, but the app that they use to count the votes is called Shadow Inc. It's made by a company called Shadow Inc.
Yeah, I heard this.
That has received multiple, like, $20,000 donations from Pete Buttigieg's campaign that is filled with former Hillary Clinton staffers. I think that if you want me to, and I'm operating off the assumption that the DNC did very plainly screw Bernie in 2016, as you saw by all those leaked emails with, like, them giving the debate questions to Hillary Clinton ahead of time instead of Bernie.
No, the media definitely, like, that's what I think about the Yang thing. You'd be in it. I'm not saying he would win, but he would not have dropped out if he just got a little more airtime or media asking him questions.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No doubt.
I agree. But I think that, let's say Buttigieg is, I think that they are probably figuring out that no one was going to vote for Biden and that Buttigieg is probably a safer bet. Who knows? But I think that the people with the DNC do not want Bernie Sanders, because that would screw them, as really wealthy people, that would screw them over. Like, if he actually got elected, I think they will try and do everything, and I mean everything, like crazy shit, to try and prevent him from getting the nomination. But
we'll just have to sit back and wait, because
I injected a
little
drama.
I thought that people did that for Trump, and here he is.
Yeah.
I thought that that's what's going on there.
But like, at the core of it,
he's taught
me
never to underestimate a race.
Yes, honestly. You're right. But again, I think at the core of it, though, his platform, if you take Trump's personality out of the picture, his core platform is not all that different from, like, say, Jeb Bush's or something like that. Like,
How do you mean?
Well, I mean, like, in terms of what he stands for, they're pretty typically Republican.
I know, but, like, how do you mean? Like, so, like, something. Just give me something that was pretty
so
similar.
Like, pro-choice. Like, he's against, you know, pro-choice or, like, that kind of stuff.
Pro-life. You know, you're cut and paste. Republicans, what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying is that, yeah, even though Donald Trump is kind of an ass, and that's putting very, very mildly, he still runs on a general Republican platform with those kind of
values.
That's
the only way he's going to get the votes.
Right. But, like, again, you have someone like Bernie Sanders who is speaking directly to a lot of disenfranchised millennials and Gen Zers, the Zoomers. And
is that a new name?
Yeah.
Okay, Zoomer.
But his policies fly in the face of a lot of the wealthy investors, a lot of, you know, the super PACs, a lot of, you know, the
super
donors.
Super PACs on the left side, no super PACs.
You don't think so?
It's only super PACs on the right. It's like almost.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
What is Bernie's PAC? Well, maybe not be a super PAC, but he does have a PAC, though, doesn't he?
No.
Are you sure?
No. Oh, well, no, I'm sure.
Are you
no.
100%?
Go ahead.
Because I don't want Jamie. People commenting on this and be like, Jamie.
Well, not Jamie. Let's go with Ramey. We have a Ramey.
Biden super PAC. So clearly the Democrats Biden. Are accepting it.
I would be surprised that Biden.
Well, of course Biden.
Look, see, look, so look, go down.
What?
Go down. Super PAC uses heart attack and ad hitting Bernie Sanders.
The Democratic Majority for Israel. This is a super PAC. Whatever.
No,
I'm not a political
It's going
analyst.
Against Bernie Sanders. It's not Sanders. Sanders.
Okay, but I'm saying that there are plenty of super PACs that are in the Democratic Party that are not for Bernie Sanders in general that would be hurt in some way or another by him being president. So that's all I'm saying. I'm saying that there's a lot of wealthy people that don't want him to be elected. There's a lot of poor to middle class people that do.
Yeah.
I would expect some more
which
fuckery.
Which is messed up. Which is messed up because what you're alluding to is the people who want him won't get him because the people who don't want him have the power to not get him.
Yeah. I you know what? I honestly think that something like that will happen. Yeah. Look, Sanders at 25.7%. Oh, fuck. Okay, so it wasn't Nebraska.
Yeah, New Hampshire.
It was New Hampshire. Whatever. Who gives a shit? But Warren's in fourth. I'm surprised Klobuchar pulled that many. She's in the 19.8%.
Damn.
Biden's at 8.4%. His whole platform is on his electability to be Donald Trump, and he's in fifth place. I bet. Who do you think is going to be the next to drop out? Do you think Biden?
Oh, the next to drop out.
Yeah.
It's tough because I would have said Klobuchar, but she's striking. I mean, it depends. I've seen this happen before to where they're like, look good, and all of a sudden you reveal the rest of the states and no one's ever heard of you.
Right, right.
So I'm still going with Klobuchar as being the first to go.
I could maybe see that.
Warren is too popular right now. Buttigieg's got too much esteem. Sanders is the face of it right now.
Yeah.
And Biden, I think, is too proud.
I'm going to say.
He's not ready for those Trump tweets.
Yeah. I'm going to say Gabbard is the next to drop out. Because she's actually...
She's still in it?
She's still in it. She hasn't officially given up yet.
She's done then.
Oh, so she guess, for sure is done.
I guess I'd say her then.
I love her
but
to death.
Out of these five, I'd say Klobuchar.
I could see that. I would say, if I had to guess, I think it really depends on the next caucus or whatever. What is it, Super Tuesday? I don't know. It's probably not Nebraska, but... I don't know why I would say Nebraska to begin with. So weird.
I knew there was one in New Hampshire, but I didn't think that was the one you were talking about.
Yeah, the one yesterday. So the New Hampshire.
So primary. I didn't say anything. I didn't want to be like a dick.
And no, please, because then I look
no,
like
but
an
then,
idiot
no, but then also
minutes.
Get it wrong.
So I just actually not, it was Minnesota.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I did that before with the Sailor, like the Pro Jared shit. And everyone,
oh.
And I was like, Sailor Mars. It's not Sailor Mars.
Okay, well, that's different. Like I
should felt
known
the
this.
Wrath of the comment section.
Yeah.
I only fight the comment section when I'm in my own, when I'm typing the comments.
I would say, I'm going to say Warren is the next one to drop out. And I'm going to say Warren and Biden. And I think Sanders, Buttigieg, and Klobuchar are our three. That's just my guess. But. Yeah, let's go ahead and start wrapping it up. Are you playing anything new in your video game Hot Minute? This is the new segment that totally has existed all this time.
Last Minute. What is he playing? Right now, currently, I've gotten into... I just started Xenoblade 2. I've been putting it off for a long time because a lot of things remind me of static MMORPGs.
Yes.
Where, like, you press one button, they start doing animations, and you press another one, you do more animations.
Did you play the first one?
I did not.
Okay.
But it's getting remastered, and it's coming back, so I'm going to try it.
I played and beat the first one. One of my favorite games.
That's what I'm going to say. But, like, but is this also hold true? Because a lot of things, the reason why I was so impatient with this one is because everyone's like, you got to give it 40 hours before it really opens up.
I hate that.
And I'm like, what do you mean? It shouldn't take you 40 hours to open up a game. That's most games.
Yeah.
Like, it's like games are winding down. Like, so I'm not a stranger to playing long games. Most of the time I play games at least 50 hours, and then I do extra content. So, like, a lot of my games will say have played for 90 hours, 125, smashes 300. You know, it's like...
Yeah.
Things that so like I'm not scared of it, but it's just like, dude, I do not want to draw through this and then be like super excited that it's good. Like, I just wish it was just good the whole time. So we'll see. I started that. I'm sure everyone loves it. It's considered, everyone's considered like their favorite Switch game. But on the other side, for PS4, I started Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
Okay.
All the Tomb Raiders are phenomenal. You should go get them. Very good. The new Tomb Raiders.
Me and the girlfriend are playing Stardew Valley. Have you played that game?
I saw you playing that. Dude. But I do know what it is. It's the same people who made Wargroove, which was one of my top games from last year.
Yeah, I really like the Harvest Moon games when I was a kid, like Harvest Moon 64. Mm-hmm. And this is like takes everything good about that game and just magnifies it up. Of course, this game came out like 7 years ago, so everyone's okay, whatever. Yeah. But
Xenoblade's
it's such a good couples game. Because while, you know, she's planting crops and harvesting and that kind of stuff, I'm looking up, like, different, you know, animals to get and that sort of stuff. Like, it's great. It's a ton of fun. It's very easy to get into. So if, like, your girlfriend doesn't play video games, mine does already. But, like, you know, it's a good entry.
Just talking to you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, my wife plays, too. She does a lot of Dragon Quest Builders, too, which is very similar to that. She does a lot of that. And she's looking forward to Animal Crossing also. Pretty similar in that same realm of you know, make your own stuff. But she plays Smash with us a little bit, and she does do some other stuff. But Just Dance is always a classic. But yeah, it is fun to play with someone else that isn't obviously with your girl or your significant other, whatever it is.
Yeah.
It is also fun, good time.
That's good.
Stardew Valley, check it out if you haven't already. If you haven't played through it three times.
Yeah.
That's the thing though, can you play through it? Is there a story?
Yeah, there's technically like an overarching story. Like there's like a checkpoint after 3 years have passed in the game, but I think you can play indefinitely.
That's what I was wondering. It seems like a game like Minecraft, like you can never really stop.
It's more
until you stop
organized than that. Like each character has their own storyline, that kind of stuff.
Okay. But
anyway, thanks for tuning in, guys. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, and YouTube at The Digital Fireside. If you have any questions, you'd like to email us. contact@thedigitalfireside.com, or you can DM me or Luke. I'm on Twitter at Alexander D. Hall.
Could you DM me?
Oh, my God. Nice.
Classic.
What is your handle again, sir?
It's like
before you get us kicked out of here.
StonerBoner82 or something like that.
Dude, StonerBoner82.
It's Indie Chubbs.
My Let's Play.
Indie Chubbs, at Indie Chubbs for both platforms, for Instagram and Twitter.
That's with how many B's?
It's with two.
Two B's.
Two big old round B's.
Okay.
Double B's.
All right. I fucking hate you, dude. See you guys.
Peace.